All right. Six verses, starting Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26 to 32. Bible said, he, talking about Jesus, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest is come. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in his shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Lord, we are praying that you would explain everything to us this morning, that you would be our guide, that you would be our strength, Lord, that you would equip us to understand the depths of the kingdom, Lord, that we would be transformed in our lives, Lord, that we might truly come to know and be transformed by you. We ask that in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Well, last week it was a challenge up here. Last week, the whole stage was being run with extension cords. Yes, it was probably not the safest thing we've ever done, but there's a lighting issue that goes on, and so anyway, trying to fix that, the whole stage collapsed, and Mike and I came in on Monday, put some time in, and we're able to fix the stage. It now works on its own. Amen? Amen? Yes, and then Wednesday, how many of you were here on Wednesday? There was no AC on Wednesday. I got a call on Tuesday night. My phone was on the charger and said, hey, half the church is blown up. And what's happened was is the air conditioning unit would start drawing so much current, it would blow the fuses, the main fuses to the church. And we've been going through that the last three or four weeks. And so what we would do is put a new fuse in and just kind of hope it would work, you know. And so Wednesday, hope had given out, and there was no air conditioning. And if you're in here, it was incredibly hot. Amen?
Amen.
But yesterday, I met the, Friday, I met the air conditioning man here, and I was up on the roof, and there's a start capacitor that was bad. And I went down and got the part and put it in up there and messed around up there and got the AC working while I was up there. Fixed the spotlights, and I was here Friday afternoon. I was cranking the AC, waiting for the family feud to start, and AC ran for like 4 or 5 hours straight, no problem. God is good, amen?
Amen.
So yesterday I came in, and you know, I was just going to come down for like 30 minutes. You know, I needed to get the sprayer so I could do some spraying at home. There's some weeds over there. And so I walk in and go to the church and open up the front door, and the key won't turn. It's like, oh no. So I run down and get the locksmith guy. He says, hey, I'll be down there in a half an hour. Get in, and it's hot, and I don't want to turn the air conditioning unit on yet. So I go over to the trusty exhaust fan, which is that thing that goes, sucks all the hot air out. Nothing. So that motor is fried, and I have to go up there, and I had replaced it about 10 years ago, so I'm going to take it out. Look at all over. You can't find a electric motor shop open in San Diego on Saturday, no matter what you do. So I'm looking all over the place, and it's like 10 to 11. I find a guy says, I have one in San Diego. And I go, that's where I'm at. And he goes, it's over on Pacific Coast Highway. They close at 11:30. So I'm taking the old motor out. This guy shows up. I'm talking to him. The lock guy's over there going, I can't fix this lock. I said, we'll do it on Monday. George, take some money. I got to go. So I race down to Pacific Coast Highway, get to the motor shop at 11:30 on the dot. They're locking the doors. They give me the thing, give me the motor, find it, come back. Work. You know, I came, it's 9 o'clock. And I was going to come for a half an hour. I left the church last night at 7. But the fan works, and the door works, and the AC works, and most of the lights work. And I tell you that because sometimes we're like the church. We're talking about the work of God in the life of the believer. And I want to let you know that there is no way that the church fixes itself. Amen? Been around here a little bit? Yeah, the church just breaks. It doesn't fix itself. And we are like the church in that we cannot fix ourselves. We need the Lord to come into our lives and to make a transformation. Amen? Amen? That is what we are, that is what we are trying to understand, and we live our lives in the natural as a testimony to how little we can truly do. Now, you can try to make some improvements to your life, but really what you end up with is some extension cords stretched out all over the place and maybe throwing some fuses in and hoping for the best. But the further you go, them fuses are going to blow. And the longer you stretch those extension cords, they're just going to burn up and they're going to let you down. And so the Lord comes along and says, I will rescue you if you're willing. The title of today's message is A Project by God. And that is what we are. Amen? We're going to take a look at the life, the work of the Holy Spirit, salvation, transformation, and empowering. And I don't know where you are at on that scale, but I truly hope that you know the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit guides you. Amen? Amen. All righty. God calls you into salvation. John 6:44 says, read it off the paper so I don't look odd. No one can come to me unless the Father, would you say Father?
Father.
No one can come to me, this is Jesus talking, no one can come to the Son unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on that last day. And what I read there is that we cannot get there on our own, that we need divine assistance. If you are here today and you are interested in a greater relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is that you today? Because you might be here just because the air conditioning is fixed. You might be here because George makes a great burger. You might just want a hot dog for your kid. But if you come here to understand more about the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because the Holy Spirit is doing a work in you. Amen? It says, the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. That describes us before we come into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are slaves. We have no ability to make a transformation on our own. The picture is a slave auction. The owner is sin. We, each of us, are the slaves. The price of freedom is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the Holy Spirit who makes the bid on our behalf, who applies the blood of Jesus to our account that we might move from slavery into freedom, from darkness into light, and from chains into liberty. Amen? Amen. And so it is a work that only God can do in our lives. If you have experienced that, it is because of the grace and mercy of God. As we receive that, we enter into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is where we experience freedom. Because before, we were only able to choose sin. We were slaves. Now, we are able to choose right. It is in the kingdom of God where we experience freedom. It is in the kingdom of God where we experience healing. And it is the Holy Spirit who guides us into the kingdom. Does that make sense? We are studying the actions, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer.
And if you are a believer today, it is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
All right. We need God's help to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 all revolve around this ignorance of people in the world. Do you know some people around you that you begin to think about or talk about the things of God and their eyes just kind of gloss over and they have no clue what you're talking about? This text right here addresses that. That you cannot understand the things of the Spirit without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Bible says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. You run into that every day. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth 2,000 years ago that same truth. You are surrounded by people who just don't get it. And no matter how hard you try, you can't argue them in. God is the only way, the Holy Spirit is the only way that they can gain an understanding of the things of God. He says, continuing on, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. That is such a truth. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The kingdom is entirely different from the world. You can't get there on your own, and you can't understand it on your own because it is a supernatural place. There is supernatural knowledge, and it takes supernatural understanding to get a grip on it. So to get into the supernatural, we need a supernatural guide. That supernatural guide is indeed the Holy Spirit. He is our guide. He leads us. He interprets God's truth for us. He teaches that to us. And the problem is that not so many of us want to follow his teaching. I could tell this little child, stop clapping your hands. And you know what? How old is that child, by the way? Two? One? Even the adults don't even know. We need a teacher.
Should
be two in June. It's complicated. Oh, it's fractions. But you know what? She's got a pen. She's just doing her own thing. She does not care what's going on around her. Look at her. She's clapping again. Just being defiant. Well, can I grab this child or will she scream? Is she crying?
Oh.
Look at this little child. Can I show you off? Oh, yeah. Look at this girl. Look. See this girl? She's freaking. Oh, yeah. Look at that. She's going, yeah. That is what we are like. As we come to kingdom things, we're completely unaware on what is going around us. We say, stop clapping. And it's like, nah, I don't think so. And the Holy Spirit tells us to stop doing things. And we can say, I don't think so. See, we come into the kingdom. It is brand new things. It is supernatural things. They are spiritual things that we are to learn and to understand and to apply to our lives. And some of us just don't want to follow. You learn how to follow, God will make you better. But some of us just don't. It can be pride. Can be arrogance. But the name describes a lot. It is the kingdom. It's not a democracy. We don't have a vote. We have a king, and servants to the king do what the king says. Amen? Now, many of us, as we come into the kingdom, we are used to functioning in the world where we're in control. And we realistically don't want to follow. We don't want to humble ourselves to the king. We can take some advisement.
Yeah, think about that. I'll get back to you on that, God. Let me get around to that. You ever get lost? Do you ask for direction? You know what? I hate being lost. I will ask directions of anyone. I will pull on the wrong side of the street to somebody who is talking, say, hey, do you know where this place is? And my wife would be going, you're on the wrong side of the street. Say, we are lost. I don't want to be lost anymore. You know, I will ask. I'll stop. I'll go into stores. I'll stop. I'll ask. And I'll follow. Because I have no clue where I'm going. And I don't want to be there anymore. I want to go to where I'm going. The Holy Spirit will guide you to where you don't know where to go.
Yes, yes.
And the question is, are you going to follow? Because He'll save you. He'll set you free. And then it's up to you to choose.
Yes.
Amen? All right, let's go to number two. Holy Spirit guides you into a new life. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God Himself, via the Holy Spirit, the God of peace, sanctify you. Talk about spiritual words. That's a spiritual word. We're going to come back to that in just a second. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are talking about the process of sanctification. Sanctification is a technical word. It is a technical word that has two components to it. One is the act of sanctification in which God takes you and separates you from the world, enters you, places you into the kingdom, and separates you unto Himself. And He says, I have purchased you with the blood of my Son. You are now mine, and I will now guide you into the fullness of life. He is the King, and we are His what? Servants. Amen? And so it is this process of separating, which is called the act of sanctification. We also have the process of sanctification, which in which the Holy Spirit comes to work on us and to make us more holy. Because when God grabs you out of the world and places you into the kingdom, you got a whole lot of world left on you. Amen?
Amen.
See, we need to be all scrubbed up. And it is the Lord, because you don't even know how the kingdom works when you show up. Oh, it's the kingdom of God. Well, you don't know nothing about nothing. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, hear Aaron talking about all this stuff. God's doing a work in you today, eh? It's taken a little while, amen? I mean, and the work that He's doing today is deeper than the work that He was doing last year and the year before. It is this process of sanctification where the Holy Spirit begins to scrub out your soul and begins to do a work on you and guide you into new fullness of life.
Yes.
Teaches you how to be more like Jesus. It's a process. It will take your whole life. But you'll be better today than you were yesterday.
Yes.
And better yesterday than you were last month. And better last month than you were last year.
Yes.
There should be progress. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's keep going. We have a part to play. It is not, I mean, God makes you better. God gives you the opportunity to be better, but you have got a part to play. It's not like we're just sitting up here just going, okay, God. You know, I have never gotten a manicure. But, you know, I don't think there's a lot to it. You know, just lay up there, you know, get your feet done, maybe get your toes done. I always laugh when women get their toes done. My grandma, she'd get her dog's toes done, you know. Gigi and Pierre. And they could click, 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 click. You know. Oh, really? No, I'd never paint my toes in a million years. Never painted my hands either. Anyway, okay, we are moving back to the things of God, aren't we? Yes. Bible says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed,
not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Philippians 2, 12 through 16. Now much more in my absence, continue to work out your, what's that word? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That seems like we got a part to play, amen? For it is God, now we're back to God making you better, amen? It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Why does God have to do that? Because when you come, you are used to working your will for your good purpose. Amen? And the only reason you come to the Lord is because it hasn't been working out so good for you. You got the extension cord. You have the fuses in there, hoping and praying it'll work. And we come to the Lord and we realize it ain't working. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We are like this church, man. We're just falling apart. And it is God who makes us better. Bible says, do everything without, what's that word? Complaining.
Yeah.
You a complainer? Do everything without arguing. Don't argue. So that you may become blameless and pure. Isn't that a good target? I don't want to be pure. Blameless and pure, that's like grade A. That's the best you can get. The children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, surrounded by messed upness, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. God will make you better, but He's not going to force you into holiness. He will cause you to will and to purpose His stuff, but it's still your choice to make. It is your choice how far and how fast you will go in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was so blessed this morning. I heard this person talking about the Lord who shall remain nameless. I don't want to embarrass them. But Adriana said, I had a migraine this morning. Oh, I blew that, didn't I? And you know what? And she's just smiling, you know, and I have migraines, man. And migraine and smiles don't go hand in hand. And she just said, Lord, I need you to heal me. And you know what? Boom. My migraine is gone. God works in us. He'll make us better. This girl, I'll tell you what, you see the Holy Ghost guiding her. He will move in us so that we can will and act according to His good purpose. Amen? We got a part to play. It's your choice. You can say, nah, I don't think so. You got to walk it out. See, we got some stuff that we are carrying around with us. God shows us a different way to go. And see, it's like we got baggage, you know. It's like we got baggage that we are carrying around. And God is, we're thinking, hey, I'm following you, Lord. I got my stuff, my purpose here, right? And I'm following God's purpose. And there was a conflict. That's why He is encouraging them. Not in my presence, but in my absence, work it out. Continue. Why? Because there were some that stopped. There were some that found it too challenging. Have you found it to be challenging? Oh, it's uphill. I dare say Aaron's going to learn some things in the two weeks that your family's gone. I mean, he'll be glad to get them back, but I would imagine there's some things that God's done while they've been God that He wouldn't have done if they were there. God will put you through some hard things. God will ask you to do some stuff, get rid of some stuff that you like. He'll ask you to get rid of your purpose. Like what? Like this. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. There's some worldly stuff that does not belong in the kingdom. And if you are a citizen of heaven, if you are a kingdom kid, if you are a child of God, if you are following the King, He is going to ask you to remove some of this stuff out of your life.
Yes.
What? You can underline this. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And I'll tell you what, you can see them going around you, and people can see them in you. It says, sexual immorality. Think that's a hard thing to hide?
Oh, yeah.
People going, whoo. Impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. You know what? Homosexuality, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery gets a whole lot more attention than hatred, discord, jealousy, and rage. Amen? You got that stuff, discord, jealousy, and fits of rage? You ought to be working on it. In fact, I guarantee you, you got it. The Holy Ghost is trying to work on it. And you might be saying, get behind me. That's just the way God made me. And the Holy Ghost is saying, I'm trying to remake you. God will make you better, but you've got a part to play in it. Amen? Amen? Jealousy, discord, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Oh, my. Just trying to get ahead, just trying to make a little bit of money. That can be out of line. Dissensions, factions, and envy. Oh, I wish I had that. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will, what's that word?
Not.
You know, a truly merciful, kind, and loving God would not put not there. But amazingly, it is there. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this don't make it to heaven. And the Holy Ghost is saying, look, I'm trying to get you into the kingdom. You got this stuff going on in your life, and it's going to have to get left by the wayside. And it's up to you whether or not you're going to say, okay. He is urging the Philippians to continue on because some have grown stagnant. Some have stopped moving. They see kingdom choices, but they're not making them. My question to you this morning, are people seeing changes in you? Do you see a change in you? Because the Lord will come up and say, hey, you got this baggage slowing you down. You can say, no, not really, Lord. Look, it's got wheels. Look, man, I can make this. And he goes, no. I don't care how heavy or light it is. It's messing you up. Let's take a look. Oh, I don't want to look inside, Lord. So let's just open that thing up. You got some, no, I got stuff I need in here, Lord. It's okay. You're fine with it. Let's see. It's like, just reading the articles more. You know, skin flint book, you know, I'll look at the pictures. He goes, get rid of that. More? He says, yeah. It's holding you up. Like, but Lord, I've got a prescription for these. This is perfectly legal. He says there's all kinds of legal stuff in the world that will hold you back. I'm not saying every prescription you got's holding you back, but I'm saying there's some stuff that you're leaning on that the Lord would remove from your life. And when he comes along and says, get that out of your life, you're going to be obedient? And you say, get behind me. Lord, it's just a rough day, end of a rough day. I just want to be able to sit down and kick back. He's saying, hey, you know what? Some of that stuff can just be a little out of balance. More? Really, Lord? You know, I don't drink this stuff for a buzz, Lord. It just kind of mellows me out. Really. And all these things. He'll say, that's the kingdom. You got some stuff that's holding you on the edge. Are you going to surrender those things? Are you fighting him every step along the way? Say, okay, Lord, we're good. Oh, I better clean this stuff up. Yeah, here we go. All that stuff right back in there. There we go. See, it's hard to make progress, we'll just pick it right up again. Amen? Third point. We've talked about salvation. We've talked about sanctification. The Lord will call you out of darkness. The Lord will transform your life. And last thing we're going to take a look at is the empowerment that He would give you. We're talking about a transformation, a supernatural transformation that comes as we come out of the world and go into the kingdom. That He would do a transformation in our souls, cleansing us and transforming us to act like citizens of the kingdom. And then He will endue us with power. And that's what we're talking about, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is power in the Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. These are famous Pentecostal verses. The Bible says, on one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for My gift. Wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked Him, Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. No, I'm not going to do that. He said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be the tough guys in the neighborhood, and you won't have to mess with anything anymore. No, He said, you will receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I will give you power for a purpose. I will equip you as citizens of the kingdom so you can be transformed from a natural existence into a supernatural existence. And as you make that transformation, I will equip you with power. Supernatural power to ride along with a transformation so that you can have a message for those who do not understand. They'll go, I don't know what He's talking about, but check it out. No more migraine headaches. I'll find out what's going on with that. I don't understand why she's smiling anymore. God does supernatural things to you to get out the word about Him. If you are willing to live that type of a life that is focused on Him, there is no shortage of the power that you will receive from the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? We're talking about salvation, coming out of the dark into the light. We're talking about sanctification so that you can start living in the light. And we're talking about power so you can shine the light. Amen? Now, if you don't want to shine, you don't need any power. If you don't want to be transformed, you really don't need the Holy Spirit to guide you. And if you've got extension cords and fuses that you're fine with, you probably don't even need to be saved. But when you come to the time that you think you want these things, the Holy Spirit will make you better. Amen? Power to be a witness, it's not just power for power. It's not power to have. It's power to use. It makes you better. When this day came, it was Pentecost. Read about it in Acts chapter 2. There were 120 believers in a room waiting for this power to be given to them. They were waiting so that they could be a witness for the Lord. 120 believers. I imagine that some had left. If you do the math, they probably had to wait 10 days. Can you imagine if you only waited 8 and missed out on Pentecost? I cannot imagine. Last thing we're going to talk about is missing out. Don't miss out. Paul, again, writing to the church in Ephesus. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. There are some who miss out. There are some who do not understand the inheritance of heaven, the inheritance of the kingdom. There are those who do not comprehend. Paul talked about those who, the foolish man, the man of the world, cannot understand the things of the Spirit. But Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says, I am praying that you would all receive this, that you would all understand this, because some of you are not. Some of you are fine just sitting on the edge of the kingdom. And he's saying, I am praying that the Holy Spirit would open your eyes and your mind and your soul to the vast expanse of the resources of the kingdom of God. Because some of you are missing out. Some of you realize that there is healing in the kingdom. Amen? Some of you have experienced that healing this morning. Some of you realize that there is fellowship in the kingdom, and that the attractive nature of bachelorhood to the world holds no attraction to you because of the fellowship that is available within the kingdom of God. Amen? And so, as Paul is saying, all that you can understand all this, that you would not be held back by the garbage of your past, the love of the sin which enchained you, and that you could be transformed by the Holy Spirit, that you could be used by the kingdom, that the King himself would use you in a mighty way. I am blessed. My daughter is up here singing to me. You know, I am blessed that my wife has sang for the last 12 years. Her vocal cords are shot. Perhaps they'll be healed. We don't know. But the Bible talks about giving yourselves in a worthy manner. Yes. I'll tell you what, I came home last night, I was so tired. You know, For a while, I was too tired to eat. I gained enough strength to get to eat a little bit later. But I'm telling you, I just drink a big old glass. To give yourselves in a worthy manner. Paul is praying for supernatural assistance. Kingdom assistance. Take supernatural aid to know the King. It takes supernatural aid to understand the riches of the kingdom. It takes supernatural aid to know the power of the kingdom. And if you are going to move into the kingdom, you need a kingdom guide. The Holy Spirit comes here this morning and he says, I am your guide. But will you follow? Are you ready to follow? Leanne, you can come up and play a little something. Are you ready to let go of these things that we have talked so much about? Because I'm not going to drag you kicking and screaming into the kingdom. I died so that you could choose to come to the kingdom. I come to you and live inside your body to guide you along the path, but I'm not going to drag you. I'll show you the way, but you got to take the step. Are you moving this morning? Have people said, wow, you're moving so much. People from the world would say, I don't even recognize you anymore. I don't even like to hang out with you anymore. All you're doing is talking about Jesus. Yeah. You know, you heard that?
Yeah. Oh, the good thing. God will call you out of darkness. You cannot save yourself. He'll save you.
You got to choose to respond. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. I know where some of you are at. I don't know if you're saved. You're saved. If you are interested in being saved, if you want to get into the kingdom, it is because the Holy Spirit is here this morning, opening your heart and your mind to that opportunity. Perhaps you've done that. The transformation that is available in your life, that sanctification, that cleansing, that moving closer to God, that holiness. He says, I'll do a work in you. I'll make you better. Can't be transformed till you're saved. He says, I'll give you power to be a witness. You can have power to testify one day after you're saved. 1 minute after you're saved. You can have that power to be a witness. Not understand a thing about the Bible, but know He who has set you free. Amen? Lord can empower you, and it's not just a one-time cleansing. You get cleansed throughout your whole life. You get empowered throughout your whole life. Not just one shot of power. Ongoing power. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that being filled and filled and filled and filled? Being transformed. Finding fire. Is that what you want this morning? Got to be saved to be transformed. Got to be saved to be empowered. And that transformation and empowerment just goes flip, flop, flip, flop, flip, flop. Get transformed, get empowered, get more transformed, more powered, hand in hand. Lord, I come to you this morning knowing that you are mighty and awesome, Lord, knowing that you have a plan for us, that you guide us into the kingdom. Call us out of darkness, guide us into the light, Lord, and you would move us closer and closer and closer to you. Lord, that you would remove the baggage that we have in our lives so we might be more beautiful to you, Lord. So the stain of sin might be removed, Lord. That you empower us, Lord, so that we can have a message and a testimony to those around us who are lost. Lord, I pray that you come in here this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord. You're here this morning and you are in the darkness. You have not come out of the darkness into the kingdom. Your love of sin is so great that the Lord has made that offer to you over and over again. He said, come in, come out of the cold, come in out of the darkness. I have paid for your sin. The Holy Spirit says, I have a place for you. And you have said no and no and no. And today you would say yes. I don't want to be like that anymore. That's you today. I just want you to just say, Lord, that's me. Just where you sit, just slide your hands up. Say, Lord, that is so me. I don't want to be outside anymore. I want to come into the kingdom. Holy Spirit, come inside me. Guide me and direct me. Make me better. Here, here, back here. Right here. Buddy else. You put your hands down here and here, yeah. Maybe you come in and you have done that before. And the Holy Spirit is saying, man, you're one step off the edge. Come on. And there is some stuff in your life. I pulled these things out of this bag and referenced them. Referenced the anger and the rage and all those things that perhaps one of those things the Lord has been speaking to you about for a while. Talked about repentance last week, that the Lord would point out this area to you, and now it's up to you to begin to respond to that. And how you respond is through confession and through repentance. We're going to sing in a minute. Lord is doing a little work on you, and it is a lifetime of work. Jean Bell, sitting back there, her birthday coming up. She's going to be 89 years old. She is not completely sanctified. I've been walking with the Lord longer than many of you have been alive. She's not done yet. So if she's not done, nobody's done. And the Lord right now could be speaking to you, saying, hey, it is this massive thing. Hey, it is this small thing. But what you can do in response to that is the worship team can come up now if you'd like. The worship team comes, you can come to these altars and you can kneel. And you can confess, say, Lord, I have done wrong. And you can repent, say, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. And the last thing, you can keep playing, man, thank you, is the power. Then, Lord, I have talked to people till I am blue in the face. Lord, I don't know what it is, but Lord, I want to be a witness for you. I want to know your power. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want to be transformed. I want to be used by you. That's you this morning. I want to we sing and close our time up and pray, and I want to anoint you with oil. The symbol of the Holy Spirit, just oil. And I want to pray with you. And we'll see the Lord do some mighty things.